Okay, so unfortunately our last shiur, it's for this summer. Everyone's obviously invited back for future summers and to join our shiur. It was an open invitation. But I'll try to get done what we can. So another order of business, another order of the day is to first finish up the Achilat Basis again, just a couple of loose ends, and then to move on to a topic which we're not going to be able to do with fully, but we'll start the topic of the Azhara for the Inui Jonathan. And we'll see that that's going to have implications in terms of our border discussions and a bunch of various articles along the way. So first, in terms of Achilagasa, just to summarize, we basically have developed two approaches in terms of what the gedder of Achilagasa is for Yom Kippur. Right, the first approach was that it was like mitzta'er b'achila, parallel to the gedder of Achilagasa of Chol Terech Kula. The second approach was that it was a unique gedder for Yom Kippur, based on just the lack of hanah. Right? It doesn't have to be the level of mitzta'er. As long as there's a lack of hanah through the achila, that suffices to be mugdar as achilagasa for purposes of Yom Kippur. So the question we have to ask is, what exactly is the nukudas and machlokas between these two different approaches in the show? Is there some fundamental machlokas here in terms of the nature of the inui shel achila, or is it something more more technical? We're going to see the different approaches in the Rishonim. In the Achronim, in terms of how do you assess this machlokas Rishonim in terms of the gedder achilagasa of Yom Kippur. So the first approach in the Achronim is that of the Bach. So how do you see? Where the Bach seems to take a technical approach. But according to the Bach, really both approaches fundamentally agree to each other. They're just talking about different cases. What are the different cases? In connection specifically to different types of food. Exactly. So basically, in short, the Bach is basic claim, which is a fascinating approach in the sense that he's trying to minimize the machlokas as much as possible. If you guys are going to comment on the Q&A. Interesting, Derek Halimic question, in terms of when you try to embrace a fundamental machlokas and when you try to narrow the machlokas. The Bach here trying to narrow the machlokas and say, there's no machlokas. Right? The first approach, which thinks that the gedder is mitzta'er b'achila, really agrees the second approach, which thinks that it's about lack of hanah, because they're talking about different cases. Right? And in short, the way the Bach sets it up is that the first approach, which says that it's second approach. The second approach of Rashi and the Tur, according to the Bach, who think that it's just a lack of hanah, that's dealing with the type of food which a person only derives hanah from when he's hungry. And therefore, for that type of food, even if you're not super, super full, as long as you're not hungry, you're not going to get any hanah from that food. So that's why, so therefore the second approach, which says that, it doesn't have to get to the extent of mitzta'er, it's just the lack of hanah, because they're dealing with the types of food which you don't get any benefit from as long as you're just, not hungry. But the first approach, says the Bach, which says, we're dealing with a case of mitzta'er b'achila, that's a different type of food. What type of food is that? Some type of spiced food. And that is the type of food that the only time you're not going to get hanah from it is when you're, to the extent that you're like mitzvah. So in short, the Bach thinks there's no machlokas. Everybody agrees to each other. They're just talking about different pieces. Okay? So that's the way the Bach assesses the machlokas. But there's an alternative way to assess machlokas, and we were basically hinting to this along the way. And that seems to be that it could be that there's a fundamental machlokas here relating to the gedder of inui shel achila. Right? In short, right, the second approach says that all you need is a lack of hanah. Right? The way, the simple way to understand them is to say that, and this is the way Rashi himself, says it, and the Bach, or the way the Rashi seems to say it, and this is the way the Ksav Sofer is going to formulate it, is that if you take approach number two, then it's just a lack of hanah, because you think that the koveya for inui shel achila of Yom Kippur is Yusuvei Daite. And therefore, as long as you don't get hanah, you don't get yisuvei daite, you don't violate. The first approach, which means it needs to be mitzta'er b'achila, and which according to many versions of that, is like lo shmei achila, because they argue fundamentally that it's not just about Yisubi Dente, but it's also, or rather, a factor of a Maisa Achila, and therefore it should resemble the Geder B'chol Torah Kula. And just like B'chol Torah Kula, Achila Gasa is all about Mitzvah Ayar B'Achila, and therefore Lo Shmei Achila. So the same should apply, the same should carry over to Achila Gasa Yom Kippur, because Achila, because the Geder B'inoy Shel Achila Yom Kippur is also about a Maisa Achila, and therefore you need the level of Mitzvah Ayar B'Achila in order to say Lo Shmei Achila. So in fact, this second understanding that machlokes between these different approaches are fundamentally related to the gather of Inoy Shel Achila Yom Kippur is actually formulated by the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer brings down these two approaches and says they seem to be arguing about the gather of Inoy Shel Achila. So if you look at the first source we have copied here, if you don't mind, Eitan reading, you see the last word on the fourth line of the Hine. Sorry, and just the background is the question that he starts off with is why did Reish Lakish state his din of Achila Gasa specifically in the context of Yom Kippur? Meaning, it doesn't apply to Chol Torah Kula, why does he pick Yom Kippur? So the way he's going to answer is by saying, perhaps, according to the second approach, the Geder of Achila Gasa of Yom Kippur is unique, and therefore Reish Lakish had to state an independent din of Achila Gasa for Yom Kippur because its Geder is different, and the Geder for Rashi and the Torah is different in the sense that, it's just a lack of Hanah, and the way he explains it is because Rashi and the Torah are all based on Yisuvei Tanki. So again, taking this approach that the Geder of Achila Gasa will be, indicative, will highlight the nature of the Inu Shel Achila. So, for it, Hine Kishyaseinu, or Kishyaseinu.
Kishyaseinu, merely the Yashiva Kishyas Rashi of the Torah, this question appears to me that it can be answered according to Rashi and the Torah.
Once you're full.
Once he's already full, he's not getting anywhere to be dated, unless.
Exactly.
And even without this, he's already not afflicting himself. So the Yishlom Agam, the Rashi, the first year like King, the Indian number is probably the 12 right? The Yisuf Dayton, Abba Shari Yisurim, Al Mitzvahs, Kupan Kasa, Kmatzah, Shad Hashas, Masaf, Kupan Kudan, and the Pais, the Bonek, we have to go gas, the Shiyu, Mutter, the Yisurim, Rosh, Lo, King, Al Mitzvah, Ashe, Kutz, the Makkal, about that the other, about the Mitzvahs and Yisurim, that's, you have to be at the level of
exactly.
But if you're just at the level that you don't want to eat anymore, then you're not potter from
Yisurim.
Exactly. By mitzvahs. The kosher cuts shalom kiderachana.
So in short, basically, the Ksav Sofer says that the approach of Rashi and the Tur, the Geder of Yom Kippur is different. He ties that not to, we're dealing with different foods, but he ties that to Yom Kippur being unique. The unique Geder based on Yisuvei Daita, and therefore the Geder of Yom Kippur for Achila Gasa of Yom Kippur is going to be different than the Geder for Shar Yisurim and Shar Mitzvos, where the Geder is all going to be based on, Mitztayer, which is, right, and he's basically saying that when you take the, if the Geder's Mitztayer, then that seems to indicate that the factor at hand is Mice, whether it's Shmei Achila or Lo Shmei Achila. So basically it comes out that the Ksav Sofer would similarly say that those Rishonim, the Farshim, will interpret that even the Geder of Achila Gasa Yom Kippur is based on, Kutz B'Ma'achalo, that your Mitztayer B'Achila. It would seem that he would interpret them as saying that based on Lo Shmei Achila. So again, for the Ksav Sofer, right, in stark, contrast to the Bach, who says, whether you take, the Geder of, Mitztayer, or just lack of Hanah, that's just relating to different types of food. Ksav Sofer clearly sees that the different Gedarim highlight, something fundamental. That, depending on whether the Koveya is a Maisa Achila, or just Yisuvei Daita, that is what is Koveya, these different Shiurim for Achila Gasa, whether it's based on Kutz, / Mitztayer, or based on just the lack of Hanah. So again, as the Ksav Sofer is taking the second approach, that the Gedarim really highlight, the nature of the Isser. Good? So just quickly before we move on from Achila Gasa, just to point out two other Mekoros which seem to highlight that the Geder of Achila Gasa of Yom Kippur is unique, specifically because, and they specifically related to this factor of Yisur B'Daita. So again, two other Mekoros other than the Ksav Sofer, who similarly, you know, relate to the Achila, the basically point out that the Achila Gasa of Yom Kippur is unique because the Koveya for Yom Kippur is Yisur B'Daita, which again would be important for overall discussion where we're trying to all, you know, bring together various Mekoros for all the different issues that we've been discussing, relating to, you know, the uniqueness or, you know, the lack of uniqueness in regards to the gather of Inui Shel Achila. So the first makor for the, regarding the uniqueness of Achila Gasa of Yom Kippur is the Mishnah. Again, you guys saw this a couple days ago, but just to remind, meaning just to have you guys chazer. So here the Mishnah Melech, and it has a hot, here it's a hot. My first, the context of the Mishnah Melech is trying to figure out whether the Ptura of Achila Gasa, right, Lo Shmei Achila, whether that applies to Kol Torah Kul, or is it a limited din? So he first says, oh, you have a makor for Yom Kippur, right? So it sounds like, why not apply that Kol Torah Kul? Then he says, wait a second. You can't necessarily, you know, extrapolate. That's the right word, right? Extrapolate from Yom Kippur to Shar Kol Torah Kula, because while Shar Kol Torah Kula, the Koveya is the Maisa Achila, vain for mitzvos, vain for Isurim, the Koveya for Yom Kippur is Yisuvei Daite, and therefore, just because you have a Ptur, you find the Ptur of Achila Gasar, Yom Kippur doesn't necessarily mean you can extrapolate to Kol Torah Kula. So he ends up rejecting this, ends up saying, oh, there's other evidence which proves that Achila Gasa is also Lo Shmei Achila. But it's important that even the Maskana, it would seem that the Mishnah Melech still holds that the Koveya for Yom Kippur is Yisur V'Daita. Right? And therefore, and theoretically, the gather of Achila Gasa could be different because the Koveya is Yisur V'Daita. So it's important to know that even though, you know, from the perspective of Achila Gasa, the Mishnah Melech ends up saying, oh, by the way, we have Mekoros that it also accomplishes Lo Shmei Achila, and therefore it applies, but it's very important that he didn't change his understanding of Yom Kippur. His understanding of Yom Kippur presumably remains the same, that the Koveya is Yisuvei Daite, and that could be the pshat of the Ptur of Achila Gasa, because you don't have Yisuvei Daite. And once that's the case, you know, based on the Ksav Sofer's analysis and our analysis previously, perhaps, you know, even the Mishnah Melech would agree that perhaps, you know, the Gedder of Achila Gasa would be different. Again, he doesn't discuss that manner, but again, it's just still important that the Mishnah Melech, seemingly even the Maskana, holds that because the Yom Kippur, that the Koveya for Yom Kippur is Yisuvei Daite, which can be important for the bigger picture. So that's one makor. That's the Mishnah Melech. Again, a Havamina, but in terms of the assumption regarding Yom Kippur, could even hold the Maskana. The other interesting makor, in regards to the uniqueness of Achila Gasa for Yom Kippur, is the Tosefes Yom Kippur, which the Ksav Sofer originally was quoted. So let's just see this Tosefes Yom Kippur inside. And basically, I guess let's just see it inside. Basically, he's asking the question that was referenced before, of why does Reish Lakish specifically mention the Ptur of Achila Gasa in the context of Yom Kippur? What's unique about Yom Kippur that you would mention it specifically there? And his answer to that question is very important. You mind?
Why did it say by Yom Kippur specifically? Why didn't it say by any machalos asur or
chamis? Exactly. So he's assuming right off the bat, which is interesting. What, you know, the Mishnah Melech had to, you know, was wondering about. He takes his Dabar Pashut. Dabar Pashut that the Ptur of Achila Gasa applies to Kol Torah Kula. So once that's the case, the obvious question is then why does Reish Lakish specifically state it in the context of Yom Kippur? It's fascinating because here's the opposite. Up until now, we've always been saying that you need like a higher threshold of Achila Gasa in order to trigger Lo Shmei Achila than it is for, you know, Yisur V'Daita. Meaning, as we were saying, up until now, we've been saying, no. Yisur V'Daita, as long as you don't get Hana, you don't have Yisur V'Daita. Oh, when it comes to Lo Shmei Achila, that needs, you know, Mitzdayim. Here, Tosefes Yom Kippur really has the flip. That he's saying, there's a Havamina that perhaps it's only lo shmei achila. Achila gas is lo shmei achila, but yet there's yisuv edaitik. The question you're scratching your head, like, where do you get yisuv edaitik from? If you're mitzayer to the extent that lo shmei achila kol shekein, there's no yisuv edaitik. So he has a very creative havmina of why you would think that there perhaps is yisuv edaitik, even though it's mitzayer. It's like an ingenious suggestion. What's the Havmina? That although there's no there's no yisuvei daite b'shas achila because you're already full, but what's the benefit?
Eventually you're going to get absorbed.
Exactly. It's like, you know, when you say you eat for later, you know, like before a fast. You're full, but you're eating more because you're hoping that it's going to, you know, extend, you know, your satiation. No. You add a couple, and an extra, you know, hour of satiation. So he's saying, so from respect of yisuvei daite, that's the first time you find this, that perhaps yisuvei daite is, you know, harder to remove. So even though you have the tsar of loshmei achila, which triggers loshmei achila, perhaps you still have yisuvei daite based on the delayed effect. Or the fact that you're still full, you know, for a longer period of time, that last achila, which was disgusting at the time that you ate it, but that gave you 30 extra minutes of satiation, maybe that's yisuvei daite. So the havamina that although b'chol tara kula, you know, achila gas is a patur, it wouldn't be a patur here because there still is yisuvei daite. So now the key is, so what's a k'mashman? Huh? So this would be a pretty good havmina.
K'mashman, the afilu hafki pater yom kippur, yishim de lo ezmian, ela basar shas afila. Shas afila lo nen. So, k'mashman that we on yom kippur, we go by shas afila, and then shas afila, you don't get hana. Yachal gav de mata le hana achar kach, lo ispas lan, lo ispas.
So we have to analyze that. But he's saying, "Oh, what do you mean? I just said that. I mean, well, why do we only care? I mean, why do we only care about shas achila?" He says, he doesn't really explain so much. He says, "And it doesn't mean that the kodeya is shas achila, and we don't care about what happens later. We have to explain why not. I mean, what's the difference? You know, yisuvei daite is yisuvei daite. Who cares whether it's an immediate effect or a delayed effect? Inami,
kashmalon, the achila gasa kiyon de laspa hana b'shas achila."
So the second answer seems to be a little more like a Matzias factor. It says, no, there's no Hana later. Okay, how do we know that there was? Let's go on as that there is not. Again, hard to assess. And Machokis, it could be like, you know, again, what do we say, Machokis in Shirim, like what, you know, what, like what level of Hana is Hana? So the second, you know, answer is, the second explanation of the Maskan is a little more technical. But the first answer seems very fundamental. The only thing we care about is the yisuvei daite b'shas achila, not the yisuvei daite achaka. And the major question that major question we're going to have to, you know, deal with is why not? Why don't you care about the delayed yisuvei daite? But before we address that question, just important to note that it's clear from the Tosefos Yom Kippurim that the koveya for Yom Kippur is yisuvei daite. That's like his underlying assumption throughout the whole piece, that there's a very big difference between Kol Tara Kula, where it's all about Shmei Achila Lo Shmei Achila, and Yom Kippur, where the Kovei is all Yisuvei Daita. So that's very important for the big picture. And then, so now getting into the details, in terms of why do we only care about the Yisuvei Daita B'Shas Achila, why do we not care about it Shelo B'Shas Achila, or the delayed effect?
Any ideas? Do you guys know?
So it's possible to suggest that, along the lines of something we were discussing before, that sometimes in halacha you have a concept where that a passive state is not mitzuruf to a davar, and that the only thing that is connected to a person is that which he actively, you know, brings upon himself. And it could be that what the Tosefos Yom Kippurim is saying is that the yisuvei daite, the totsah of yisuvei daite, which happens basically, you know, coinciding with your maisa achila, so because it comes as a direct, you know, immediate totsah of your action, so that totsah of yisuvei daite is mitzuruf to the person. But once there's a delay, so perhaps once there's a delay, there is no tzeirah, there is no halachic connection between the person and that, you know, that passive state of Yisubi Daite, which only kicks in a couple hours later. So in short, although there's Yisubi Daite at the time, immediately and later, the reason why we only care about the Yisubi Daite b'shas achila is because the only way that those are the passive, you know, totsah of Yisubi, the feeling of satiation, the only way that's going to be in the tzur to the person, if it's connected to his maisa. And the only Yisubi Daite which is directly connected to the maisa is Yisubi Daite, which takes place immediately following the maisa achila. You have the maisa achila and you have immediate satiation. So that immediate satiation is connected to my maisa, and therefore I'm mitzuruf to that passive state of Yisubi Daite. But the Yisubi Daite, which only kicks in five hours later, that's not connected in any way to my maisa, and therefore that Yisubi Daite is not mitzuruf to the gavra. Just a parallel where you have this notion in halacha where, you know, if something is passive, it's not going to be mitzuruf to the gavra. Is you have this by the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar, right? We're slowly but surely getting to Tishrei. We're doing mitzvah of Tshuva at night to get to Elul, so now we're transitioning to Tishrei. So there's a big lumdus in the sugya of mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar, famous machokes. Is the gedder of the mitzvah the Tekiah, or is the gedder of the mitzvah the Shemiah? Again, a big machokes Rishonim. There are the other shitos, the third approach, which think that it's both. You need both the Shemiah and the Tekiah. The question is why? So Reb Chaim, it's quoted by the, you know, by the Rav in Igros Agrid, Hilchos Tzfilah, where the Reb Chaim has a fascinating idea. And he basically says that really, based on the Rambam, the Koveya of, you know, the mitzvah is really the Shemiah. That's really the focus. Why do you need a Tekiah? He says it's because Shemiah is passive. And a passive non-act of Shemiah is not mitzarif to the Gavra. The only way your eid will be mitzarif, the only way the person is able to be mitzarif to the Shemiah, is if the person also performs the Tekiah, either physically or through a shlichus. So basically, in short, the Reb Chaim has this idea that what he calls misasek. The Shemiah, since it's passive, has a status of misasek, it's not mitzarif to the Gavra. Therefore, you need to do a maisa tekiah, and therefore to now connect you even to the Shemiah. Chiddush being that when you perform the hechsher of tekiah, which then generates the Shemiah, so that connects you to the Shemiah as well. But in short, it proves this idea that sometimes in halacha, a person is not mitzuruf to a passive state. And therefore, tying that back here, perhaps only the passive Yisubi Daite, which took place immediately after your Maisa Achila, that's the only Yisubi Daite you're mitzuruf to. But the Yisubi Daite, which only kicks in later, a couple of hours later, since that's removed from your Maisa Achila, there's a delay, so therefore you're not mitzuruf that later Yisubi Daite. That's just a suggestion in terms of how to understand the Tosefes Yom Kippurim, in terms of why you're only mitzuruf, why we only care that the immediate Yisubi Daite and not the later Yisubi Daite. And just to note, just to put, you know, the shirim together, if you recall, this explanation for sure, and this Tosefes Yom Kippurim, seems to be against the Eglei Tal. If you recall, remember the Eglei Tal in the sugya of Hanaz Me'ayim and Hanaz Grono proved that Hanaz Me'ayim could not be the Koveya, because the Eglei Tal said, because if Hanaz Me'ayim was the Koveya, so then when you eat a lot at the Suda Mafsekes, and you were still feeling your Hanaz Me'ayim at the beginning of Yom Kippur, you would violate. We pointed out the huge chiddush there is that there was no maisa connected to Yisubi Daite, right? You're feeling Yisubi Daite, but you didn't do the maisa achil on Yom Kippur. So again, so that Eglei Tal is assuming, and this is in the context of Yisubi Daite, that you can be mitzurah to Yisubi Daite even if it's completely passive. Even if you didn't do any action on Yom Kippur to connect you to that Yisubi Daite, just the passive state of Yisubi Daite will be koveya. So that's just the opposite we're trying to highlight, right? The Eglei Tal is the opposite of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, who says, no, the only Yisubi Daite you can be mitzuruf to is that which comes on the heels, right? Immediately following the Maisa Achila, and therefore that's why the Tosefos Yom Kippurim thinks that the later Yisuv Daita is not going to play a role. So there's an interesting machlokes between the Tosefos Yom Kippurim and the Egle Tal in terms of, at least in the context of Yisuv Daita, whether you are Miksurav to a passive state of Yisuv Daita. So Abkan is our discussion of Achila Gasa. So now, let's move on in the last 12 minutes that we have to the next topic of the Azhara for Inoy Shalachil. So the basic issue that the Gemara really contends with is that if you look through the various psukim, or we discuss, you know, the Dinam of Yom Kippur, find it in Emor, find it in Ephraimos, you never find an ashara defined as a lav, which tells you not to eat on Yom Kippur, not to perform the inuyim of Yom Kippur. But only if, right, you have an onish of kares, if you do eat, and you also have an asay of vinismes natural sechem. So you have like vinvulosa anu as natural sechem, you'll get kares, and we have the vinismes natural sechem as an asay. You never find explicitly in the Torah saying, don't eat on Yom Kippur. So the question that the Gemara deals with, on Pei Aleph, Amen Aleph, in the Sugya here, is, so what is the source? I guess question number one is there Azhara for Inoy Shel Achila? And if there is, what is the Azhara? So you're going to see that this question of whether it has an Azhara, and if it does, what its Azhara is, will also shed light, conceptually, in terms of what the nature of the Din Inoy is as well. So let's start off by just point out there seem to be two approaches here. The first approach is that there is no Azhara for Inoy, which comes out a very important conclusion that there is no Azhara for Inoy Shel Achila. There only is a Mitzvah Saseh, there's a Mitzvah Saseh, and there is Onish, but there is no Azhara. This first approach seems to be the Pash Pshat in Reish Lakish. So let's just read Reish Lakish, sign of the Gemara. He's the first day of the Gemara and Pei Aleph Amen Aleph, following the Mishnah. We're going to see the simple reading of Reish Lakish is that he basically says there's no Azhara for Inoy because the Torah couldn't find the perfect formulation. Can I go for it, Eitan?
Should the Torah be written don't eat after the kazayis? That would imply that the share is a kazayis. Niktav Rahmana Lotona. Should the Torah be written don't afflict yourself? Come on, Mashma. That implies get up and eat.
So we'll stop there for now. For the rest of the other suggestions, the Gemara ends up rejecting. But either way, if you stopped here, if I were to ask you, according to Reish Lakish, is there an Azhara or not, what would you say? There's no, right? You couldn't find, the Torah couldn't find the perfect Lashon, so there's no Azhara. And in fact, if you turn to the Tosfos HaRosh, Tosfos HaRosh in the back of those other Gemaras at least. Do they have any Tosfos HaRosh? It's okay, you can read on with me. It's just a one-liner. Basically, it's clear in passing that Tosfos HaRosh similarly understands Reish Lakish as not holding that there is an Azhara for Inoy. And right, the context is, right, he introduces the next, right, first you have Reish Lakish, and then you have, the Tana, who brings, a Makor for the Azhara. So he basically contrasts, right? If you read it, Dirmas la Tana Maisi la Mehacha, he says, Kolomar, go for it, Eitan.
Kolomar, Afo Gav, Dehani Amu Ra'i Lo Masu. Even though these Amoram couldn't find Inoy and Azhara, Tana Maisi Lama Halfa, Tana brings it.
So it seems pretty clear the way Tosfos HaRosh sees the Gemara is that the Amorayim above didn't think there was an Azhara, and they're arguing it, but the following Tanayim, which we're going to see later, they argue that there is a Makor for the Azhara. So again, the Pasha Pshat in Reish Lakish, as highlighted by Tosfos HaRosh, is that there's no Azhara for Inoy Shel Achila. Yeah.
What's the Habamim in the Gemara's second section?
We'll assume that, yeah. I'm not sure. Good question. He was just trying to utilize the Lashon of Inoy, but I'm not sure. It's a strange... Yeah, I'm not sure. So, within this approach, that there is no... Right, that Inouye lacks an Ashara, so there are two ways to understand this. First way to understand is just technically, is that really there should be an Ashara. Like, fundamentally, this is like a lav. We just... The Torah couldn't find the right lashon. Right? I would say, the simple understanding of the Gemara. Again, fundamentally, it is an Ashara. It's like, it's a negative lav. But the Torah couldn't find, you know, the right way to formulate it in terms of a lav, and therefore, you know, it just said, v'inisim is not shoseichem, in the positive form. But it's alternatively possible, and I remember hearing this from my father-in-law, that you could say, that it's just not just technically, really, you know, it is an Ashara, and the Torah couldn't find the right lashon, so it just gave up. But the fact that the Torah couldn't find the right lashon in the negative Ashara, you know, manner, highlights, because fundamentally, the din of Inouye is one which is best captured in the positive form of the Inisim is not shoseichem. So when the Torah is saying, when the Gemara is going through and saying, oh, you couldn't say it in this way in the negative, you couldn't find it in that way in the negative, that's just a siman that, yeah, you can't capture the full, or the essence of the din of Inouye in the negative sense. And that the pshat is, like we discussed earlier, the pshat is because fundamentally, the dinim of Inouye, there's not just negative commandments of, yeah, don't eat, don't drink, don't do X, Y, and Z. But really, fundamentally, there's a positive kiyum of Inouye. You know, there are different pshatim, but like pshat that we were suggesting earlier, is that the point of Inisim that's not shoseichem is that we refrain from physical activities, you know, we're, among which, you know, achilah and shtira, the paradigmatic physical activities, in order to generate a positive focus on, you know, the spiritual themes of the day. So therefore, suggests my father-in-law, when the Gemara is saying, oh, we couldn't find a negative, you know, Ashara, it's because a negative Ashara wouldn't capture the full essence of the din. The din is v'inisim es nafsho seichem, to be in a state of positive inouye, which is interpreted as positively focusing on the spiritual aspects of the day, spiritual themes of the day, you know, being malachim, as the Medrash says, which are kulo spiritual, and by doing that, right, you do that by refraining from physical actions such as eating and drinking, but the essence is not an isra achila or an isra shtia. It's that the essence is the positive kiyum, the inisim es nafsho seichem, to positively focus on the inouye, which can be interpreted as, you know, focusing on the spiritual themes of the day, and therefore it could be that, according to this approach, that there is no ashara, really highlights that the essence of the din of inouye is this positive asay of the inisim es nafsho seichem.
Everybody's father and client's a question.
Okay, good. Excellent. There's one other ha'ara that should be mentioned. I forgot if one of you guys are the one who said this. Did you a couple weeks ago say to me, remind me if it was one of you guys, that it's strange that if inisim es nafsho seichem, if there's no ashara for it, then it ends up being like a mitzvah's asay sheyesh bo karos. Did you guys mention that to me? Or was someone else? Now I think it might be you to go for it. Sorry. Might be you to go for it. So basically, what comes out, whether you guys said it or not, it's still important ashara, is that generally, when you, if I ask you a question, trivia question, right? It's, you know, Jeopardy, Thursday night, Moko, right? Torah Jeopardy. Give me the two examples of mitzvahs asay sheyish bo karis. Generally, you know, only lavin have karis, not every lav, but right, generally the types of averos that are subject to karis are generally lavin. There's two exceptions. There are two mitzvahs asay, which if you do not perform that mitzvahs asay, you're subject to karis. What are they? Karban Pesach and Milu. But according to this shita of Reish Lakish, there's a third. If you're ever in Jeopardy, it's important to have this in your back part pocket. What's a third example of a mitzvah saseh sheyesh bo karis? V'nisim is not nafsho seichem. if you eat on Yom Kippur or you drink on Yom Kippur, you're chayiv karis. And according to this shita of Reish Lakish, there's no asara. There's only a mitzvah saseh of v'inis mes nafsho seichem. So besides for just the trivia, you know, point, that it's just good to know, it's also very important because there are many people who develop that, and they say, like, is there a significance to the fact that Mila and Karban Pesach are the only mitzvahs associated with Karis? Is there some, like, theme which connects these two? Anybody ever hear a pshat in terms of what the tzara shava between Karban Pesach and Mila are? Mila is? Such that that's why they are the unique mitzvahs associated with Karis?
Well, you see that there's more of a connection also that you can't do with Karban Pesach and Aram.
True, but that might be a simon to something.
I say that's like the fundamental things. That was like the first thing we had also before Bnei Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua.
Okay, also I think that's also, both of those I think are a reflection of the fact that these mitzvos relate to entering into the tzibur, which I think is you're getting really getting at. So the Karban Tzibur, the Karban Pesach, and the Mila were all done as, you know, during the Yetzias Mitzrayim process as we were forming a nation, and that's why they're connected, and that's why they gave, because they're both Karban Pesach and the mitzvah of Mila. Both have to do with entering into the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, right? And the idea is, obviously, topics in their own right, but, you know, you give the bris milah to a child to enter, you know, under kanfei, you know, takas kanfei hashchina, for you grant, you know, basically you place the symbol of Klal Yisrael on the baby, he now becomes, you know, a full member of Klal Yisrael. Similarly, Karban Pesach, there's a lot to be said about this, but the famous Sefer HaChinuch, which says the Karban Pesach is a carbon of Emunah, where you're opting into Klal Yisrael, and you're saying you're buying into, you know, you believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you basically opt into the Karban Pesach. And also historically, you know, it was a time where you basically, you know, were rejecting the Mitzrayim, and you were opting into Klal Yisrael. So again, a lot of people develop this idea that both, the Tzara Shabbat between both, these mitzvahs of Seish Yish Bokaris, so they both relate to the Tzibur. They both relate to, you know, opting into the Tzibur, both Karban Pesach and Bris. So I was thinking that according to this Reish Lakish, the Shita of Reish Lakish, as understood by the Tosa Rush, that Yom Kippur, V'nizim Nafroshechem, is a third mitzvah asay sheish bokaris. So one would like for Yom Kippur, V'nizim Nafroshechem, to also have a tzibur component. So I was thinking, and I think it's true. I think it's an important yisod, which there's a lot of evidence to, that on Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, we don't just, you know, ask for kapara as individuals. I think we discussed this at some point, maybe during the night shiur, that we ask for kapara as a tzibur. We come together as a tzibur. If you look at, you know, the lashon, if you look at the formulations of a lot of the ashamnus, it's all ashamnu bagadnu, right? It's all lashon rabbin. There's a lot of emphasis in the tzvilah on the tzibur. You know, the Avraham is Yaakov, there's a certain, you know, brisk between a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Klal Yisrael as a tzibur. Because it's a way of saying, yes, as individuals, we might not merit, you know, kapara and mechila, but we specifically opt into Klal Yisrael, because, as a nation, we do deserve it. So it could be, in light of this, that V'nisim Esnafshel Seichem, or if V'nisim Esnafshel Seichem is the key ingredient for kapara, you know, where you focus on, you know, the spiritual themes of the day in order to attain kapara, and we're developing that the kapara on Yom Kippur has its tzibur elements. So possibly it's not a coincidence that that v'nisim nafsho seichem might be the third example of a mitzvah saseh sheish bokaris. It's not a coincidence that, because it too is thematically connected to the bris milah and Karban Pesach, because it too is focused on the tzibur, because on Yom Kippur, we don't just, you know, come for kapara as individuals, but we specifically come in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a tzibur. And v'nisim nafsho seichem is a way as a tzibur coming together, focusing on just the spiritual, you know, aspects of the day to attain kapara as a tzibur, and therefore could be that's why it belongs on the list as the third example of a mitzvah saseh sheish bokaris.
Yeah, it's all or nothing. We always say it.
What do you say?
So all or davening is tzibur, like we say slach lan.
Well, that's also kapar. It's the same thing.
Like I'm saying, like all or davening ever all of the
Shemar. Well, I think it's related. I mean, it's a related idea that, you know, meaning if we want things, we want forgiveness and things. Like we don't come as individuals. So I think it's the same idea. Huh? Exactly. I think a minyan is a great example of that. So we come as a tzir, I think a lot of evidence of the fact that minyan, come from like the word Edom, is like a microcosm of the nation. And the point is, we come not as individuals, but we come as the tzibur. And ten is a microcosm of the tzibur, exactly. And for the same reason why on Yom Kippur we're coming as a tzibur is the same reason why we, in davening general, because as yechidim, we don't necessarily deserve, you know, the refuah shleima, the parnasa, you know, etc., etc. But as a tzibur, that's why we, you know, only b'torah tzibur can we ask.
And you also see Hashem like always at, like counts us as like together as a tzibur, like with Afan when he took stuff from Yeritha, he wasn't supposed to. So Hashem like says to Yeshua that like all of Bnei Israel is going to get punished if you don't find who it is.
Interesting.
So everyone's like,
interesting.
Don't we also say like then Sofan and Yerushalayim?
Say more time.
Sofan and Yerushalayim.
Yeah. There's a lot of evidence of trying to invoke, you know, the tzibur on specifically on Yom Neran. You know, Yonah's pointing out that it also exists in every field, but I think specifically Yom Neran, there's like a heavy emphasis on this. So I think it also works out nicely. They're very excited, like, oh, I was like thinking about this, like, yeah, the third mitzvah says Sheyish Bokaris, it also has the tzibur element, just like the other two.
Aren't like Bar is going to say, like, Pesach and Bila get, like, punished and go away from Azhara? Like, how that?
Well, you have to line up the Shitas to see if it's Reish Lakish. Because a lot of Tanaim disagree. It's only within Reish Lakish, so it would be interesting to figure that out.
So how can the mission of Reish Lakish work? The mission of Jesus, why would the mission of Jesus?
Yeah. Meaning you're saying it's a problem because of how can you have a Via Plantas? Yeah. So yeah, that's the Tosis Ritz riot against this approach. You're basically asking, how's the Tosef Rashi going to answer that kasha? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Oh yeah, but we'll get to that. Before we get to that, just important to note that Agav Reish Lakish is, you know, Shakla Bataria, we're trying to figure out, you know, we're trying to prove, you know, trying to prove that there is no Azara. He has the very all-important line, which we've been discussing, where he says, Hichi Nechto. You know, well, you know, what's the suggested Lashon that the Azara could have used? As you read, Nichta Brachmana lo sochal slash lo yochal. What do you mean then, Achila Bekazayis, that you couldn't use a Lashon Achila, because then that would have applied Achila Bekazayis. So that, as we've been discussing, is a crucial line to understanding. I mean, to understand what that line means could have, you know, grave implications in terms of, you know, the nature of Inui Shalach. The basic question is going to be, is that a very narrow rejection? To say that really the Lashon of Achila is perfect, it's just it has the wrong shear. That's the way some interpret it. Right, and according to that approach, as you can probably tell, that's like a very much like an approach number one. That really Be'etzem, the Inui Shel Achila is a Maisa Achila, it's just we have an adjusted shear. And if we just use the Lashon of Achila, it would have given the wrong, you know, impression in regards to the shear. According to that first understanding of this line, Achila is not so bad. It's just, it's wrong. It's off on one specific, you know, nafkamina of the shoe. But otherwise, you know, the Lashon Achila would have, you know, approximated the nature, the gedder of Inui Shel Achila. But there's another way of interpreting it, as we'll see this inside, that when it says Achila b'gezayis, that's a simon to a much larger piece. And the point of this Gemara is saying that not only is it always, you know, getting the one nafkamina of sheer wrong, but it's missing the entire boat. Because really, the essence of the Inui Shel Achila is not about a Maisa Achila, it's rather about Yisubei Daite, and therefore the Lashon of Achila is completely off. So you're going to see, like, these two different, you know, options of how to read that line, obviously has major, you know, repercussions and implications in terms of, you know, what is the Gedder Isser, because if you're asked, like, the first day, oh, is it fundamentally an Isser Achila, or is it not? So I would say, a good test case is how mistaken would it be to use the Lashon Achila? Is it totally off? That would indicate that the essence is Yisubei Daite. And if it's, you know, really 99% accurate, just, you know, 1% because of the shear, that would indicate that fundamentally Inui Shel Achila is also a Maisa Achila. So let's just try to document, you know, the different understandings of this line in the Mefarshim, because we see that it has a very important implications. So as I pointed out before, the first understanding of that line is to say that, oh, the Gemara is only rejecting the Lashon of Achila because it, you know, it gets wrong a single nafkamina of Shir. So the first person who seems to hold this is a Minchas Chinuch. Because if you find, right, take a step back, if you find that particular Achronim are saying, wait a second, why is the Gemara only mention one nafkamina of Shir Koseves versus Kesayis and not other nafkamina? So that question assumes that the Gemara is limited to one nafkamina, right? If you ask, oh, why is the Gemara only mention the nafkamina of Kesayis and not nafkamina X or nafkamina Y? So the assumption of that question is that the Gemara is saying that the Lashon Machila is only, you know, inaccurate in regards to one nafkamina. Because if you took the second approach, which we'll see in Rashi, is that the Gemara is using Kesayis versus Koseves as a simon to a much larger distinction. So then you can't ask the question of why aren't other nafkamina mentioned, because the point is the Gemara is just highlighting a fundamental distinction and saying the Kobe'ah here is Yusubei Daite, not Achila, and from that perspective there'll be tons of nafkamina. So if you find Achronim asking the question of, oh, why is the Gemara, you know, only mention one nafkamina of Koseves versus Kesayis and omit other potential nafkamina, so then it's clear that their understanding, the line of the Gemara, is being limited to one nafkamina. So the first Achron who seems to ask this is the Minchas Chinuch. See the Minchas Chinuch on the sheet. Anyone recall which nafkamina he thinks is missing? Exactly. Because he says, why the Gemara could have said, if you use the Lashon of Achila, then you would assume, because since we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan B'chol Torah Kula, that the Geder of Achila would be Anas Grona. So the Gemara could have said, ah, can't use Lashon of Achila because we also need Anas Me Ayim. And what? How does the Minchas Chinuch answer that question? Exactly. He says, in the Hanami, the assumption the question is right. The assumption that the Gemara is only, you know, is limited to one Afkamina. It's right. The reason why there isn't a second Afkamina is because we're Rish Lakish. It's a chat. Rish Lakish is Shitasa. Rish Lakish is Pal, you know, is one who argues in Rabbi Yochanan and Chulam Kub Gimel and Beis. And Rish Lakish is the one who holds that it's always Talay on Anas Me'ayim. So therefore, according to Rish Lakish, there's no difference in this realm between Anas Me'ayim, between Yom Kippur and Kol Torah Kulam. But again, the assumption of the back and forth, and we'll, maybe we won't read inside at the moment, the assumption of the back and forth between the Minchas Chinuch, both in his question and answer, is that the Gemara is limited to one nafkamina, and therefore it's a valid question to ask, why did it omit a second nafkamina? And he says, it omitted it because it doesn't apply, the nafkamina doesn't exist for Reish Lakish. A second Achron, who asks this type of question of why the Gemara only focuses on one nafkamina of Shir, and omits another nafkamina, is the Gevur Sari. The Gevur Sari is the Shaigas Aryeh, which is important to know. It actually relates to the famous Shaigas Aryeh, right, that most, we didn't get to this, the most famous, you know, nafkamina between Subedaita and Achila is Shelo Kederach Achila. Shaigas Aryeh famously says that because the Koveya of Yom Kippur is Subedaita and not a Maisa Achila, so the Shaigas Aryeh says that therefore your Chayiv on Yom Kippur, even Shelo Kederach Achila. Because even though Shelo Kederach Achila is Lo Shmei Achila, but here, since the Koveya is Yusuve Daite, we don't care about the lack of Maisa Achila. As long as it's Yusuve Daite, you're going to be over. So, Shaigas Aryeh Lishitaso asks that he's in the Gevur Sari, he says, I have a great reason. I mean, there's another reason that the Gemara should have rejected the Lashon Achila. Not only the Shir of Koseves, but also this nafkamina of Shelo Kederach Achila. Because if the Torah utilized the Lashon of Achila, you would think that you need a Maisa Achila, which therefore requires Kederach Achila. So Gevur Sari is saying, why is the Gemara limited to one nafkamina of Shir? You should have had another nafkamina of Shelo Kederach Achila. And again, the Gevur Sari answers technically. Do you remember his answer? It was still better. So he basically says, technically, meaning since the shear is a blatant, like inaccuracy, because that applies in all cases. But he says, but just, you know, for, you know, the fact that you're missing the nafkamina of Shelo Kederach, you know, how often does that happen? So, meaning it was just the factor of Shelo Kederach Achila, the Torah would have used the Lashon of Achila, because at least, you know, it gave you an Azhara for most cases of Derech Achila. So again, it's a tachlik answer. Again, Shagaz Arye is bothered, because, you know, for him, this is a second nafkamina. But again, the Shagaz Arye, the Gevurah Ari, is obviously assuming that the Gemara is listing a single nafkamina, and therefore the question is, you know, why have you missed the boat? There seems to be a second nafkamina. Again, the best way to answer the question for the Shagaz Arye is to say, Shagaz Arye, you're the person who holds the Yisuvei Daite. You're the person who holds that the Koveya is fundamentally different. So therefore, you could have said to Shagaz Arye, why don't you learn like Rashi? Rashi learns in like the second option. And the Gemara is saying, Achila b'kizayis, it's in essence saying, Achila would be mashma a maisa Achila, which is b'kizayis. B'kizayis is a sin into that. But that's completely wrong, because the nature of the din is all about Yisuvei Daite. And if you read Rashi, we've read this in the past, I don't mind reading it again, just the Rashi Achila b'kizayis. Exactly. So according to the way Rashi seems to interpret the Gemara, he's basically saying that Kizayis is this, or the lack of Shir Kizayis is a simon that the Koveya for Yom Kippur is completely different. It's all about Yishuv Hadas. And therefore, you could have used that to answer the Shagaz Arye's question and said, yeah, there's no problem that there are other nafkaminas, such as Shelo Kederach Achila, and based on all our shiurim, there are tons of nafkamina. And as may I am Achila Gasa, there are tons of nafkamina, which come out of the fact that the Geder Hadvaram is Yisuvei Daite and not a Maisa Achila. The Gemara was just giving one as an example of all. And therefore, there's no kasha of why the Gemara leave out, you know, other nafkamina, because the Gemara was just trying to highlight, you know, that the Geder Hadvarim for Yom Kippur is unique. So again, these two approaches, you have the Minchas Chinuch and the Gevurah Ari, reading the Gemara in a very narrow way, versus Rashi, who seems to, you know, interpret it in a more expansive way, again, generally, you know, impact in terms of, you know, how mistaken do you think the Lashon of Achila would have been for Inui Shalachila of Yom Kippur? Again, related to whether its nature is a Maisa Achila or is it very much a Yisuvei Daite factor. Fine. So Ad Kan was the first option in terms of the issue of Azhara, to say there is no Azhara, there is no love when it comes to Inui. Now we're going to see that the, it's an even more normative approach, is to say, and there's a lot of the Tanaim holds, now there is an Azhara even for Inui. Again, not explicit. There's no Pasuk in the Torah which says, you know, you can't eat, but we're going to find a bunch of different options suggested by various Tanaim of what the source of the Azhara is for Inui, even though it's not explicit. But it's important to know that even according to the second approach, that there is an Azhara for Inui, right? It's derived from various things. One can still suggest and say the fact that the Torah didn't explicate, didn't, you know, explicitly state, you know, or didn't explicitly formulate the Inui in terms of a lav, that could still highlight that fundamentally it's focused on positive kiyum of the Nisim's natural seichel. Meaning, for sure, according to the first approach, that it, all it is an asay, for sure that highlights, you know, the positive kiyum of Inui. But I'm saying, even according to this second approach, that technically there is an Azhara. We derive it from, you know, we'll go through the different sources. But at the end of the day, the fact that the Torah decided not to spell out the Azhara like it does in every other case, that still might have, you know, conceptual implication that, you know, that this is not a classical, you know, Isser Achil, not a classical Losa, say, but rather is more focused on the positive. And even though this second approach for whatever reason, thinks that technically there is an Azara, again, the fact that the Torah didn't spell out the Azara can still be a significance. Again, it's an important Terechalima question of the way the Torah decides to form, you know, at the Shir, the Losachon Shir, on Shabbos Day?
Yeah.
My father-in-law developed this idea that the fact that the Torah, you know, used an ambiguous term of Losachon, which can mean two things, there must be a reason for that. It wasn't just, you know, trying to, you know, confuse everybody and, you know, Joshua Kalbischar, there's a purpose in that. And the point is, whatever, there, the connection between the Machshava and the Maisa, that's not for now. But for our purposes, the fact that, even according to the second part, the fact that even though technically there is an Azar, because we derive it from Joshua's, the fact that the Torah decided not to formulate it could still have conceptual implications that there is a positive, or that, you know, the focus is still a positive kingdom of the Imisim Esnash Roseichem along the lines we were developing before, which is an important So now, let's just try to go through the various sources, right? So according to the second approach, that there is an Asara, so where does it come from? There's no Pasha Pshat in the Psukim that say this. So what's the Makor for the Asara? So we're going to find a range of different Shitas. So the first Shita is the Tosas Rid B'Shem Reish Lakish. As we referenced before, the Tosas Rid interprets Reish Lakish Shaloka Pashas. Pointed out before that the Pashas of Reish Lakish is that he holds it as no Asara. Tosar is not willing to accept that. Why not? Think that? The Mishnah Krisa says what? That you can't have a chiyav chatas without an azara. Right? We know that there are examples of a chiyav karius without an azara. That's Mila and Pesach. But the Gemara in the Mishnah Krisa says that Mila and Pesach aren't subject to a chiyav chatas, because a chiyav chatas only comes about when it comes to an azara. But the problem is that we know that Inoy on Yom Kippur is subject to Echatas. So says Tosafot, there must be an Azara. You have to say there's Azara. So even right, you know, he's not willing to concede that there's any Shita who doesn't hold an Azara. So Tosafot, we'll read it that's inside, in a Mechudish way, he says, oh, Reish Lakish must also hold an Azara. All Reish Lakish is saying is that you don't have an Azara, which is explicit, but really, what's the source of the Azara according to Reish Lakish, Lofi Tosafot? What's the source of the Azara? Exactly. The mitzvah saseh. According to Tosafot, a huge chiddush, the mitzvah saseh of the Inisim es nafsho seichem is the source for the law. Let's just read this inside because, you know, get to the lashon is very important. See, you mind? Starting three lines down of Yesh Lomer. First, he asks the question, what do you mean? How can there be no azara? No, can't be. The Chiyav Chatas proves that there's an azara. So Yesh Lomer, three lines down.
Yesh Lomer, the Vatay Pshita Lay, Reish Lakish. The high tahanu azhara shlo yochal v'yishda v'lo d'lo dami la'aseh d'milo pesach sheish behem ma'asav yodachem ala high ein bo maisa ala kish eino ochal v'shoseh v'imtah shumizan ahelka high tahanu azhara shlo yochal v'yishda ala high kasha v'i amai lo apik la'azhara v'u v'lashon la'ad al v'lashon feh.
So what is this, is he saying?
A lot of just
And he's saying, of course, and he's saying, like, oh, it's Pasha that this is the case, because this is not an Asay to do something. It's an Asay, it must be not to do something. So there must be an Azara. An Asay, which tells you not to do something, must be an Azara. So, what's the obvious kash on this? Meaning, is there a category of Mitzvah Asay which also don't, which tell you not to do something? Yeah, in Israel. Meaning, Tosafot is basically saying that, oh, how can you have an, meaning, if you have an asay, which is not telling you to do something, so it must be an asara. But wait a second. There's a whole category, we always say there are two types of mitzvahs asay. There are mitzvahs kumba asay, to do something, shechit yikar and pesach, perform the bris milah b'pashtos, versus isuri asay, or lava ba mechlal asay, which is basically, it's a way of saying, the Torah formulates in the positive, but really the focus is on the negative. But what's the stature of Isuri Asay? And Mitzvah Asay, we never treat Isuri Asay as Azharos. So for the Tosafot Rid to say, oh, the fact that, no, there's no, it's not a Kumba Asay, that must mean that the Asay is a Lav, that's a huge Chiddush. Because you could have just said, it's an Isur Asay, or it's a Lav above Mechlal Asay. So the Tosafot read to say, oh, the fact that it's focused on the Isser and not the, you know, Kumba Aseh, it said that that's a proof to the fact that this is an Asara. That's a very, very big chiddush. And other thing to note is that according to also important to know that according to Tosafot Rid's understanding of Reish Lakish, you know, Inui is a classical lav, according to this, right? But if you guys weren't around. Yonah was around. Our first sugya at night, in the sugya of Chinuch Kitanim, actually, in the sugya of Pei Beis of an Aleph, if you recall, most Rishonim, there's a whole shita in Rishonim there, the mitzvah of Chinuch only applies to Mitzvah Saseh, not to Mitzvah Lo Saseh. And they all ask, what do you mean? One of the sugya of Chinuch is of Inui, of Yom Kippur. That seems to be focused on not doing something. They all say, no. It's all mitzvah saseh of Yisim HaSnash Vosechem. So, it's fascinating that according to this Tosa Rid, the aseh of Yisim HaSnash Vosechem is really just a lot. So it ends up being this Tosa Rid is against all those Rishonim. Right, by the Tosa Rid saying, oh, the aseh of Yisim HaSnash Vosechem is really love, it's against all those Rishonim, the Sugya and Pei Beis, who say, no, the Yisim HaSnash Vosechem is a classical aseh, which therefore has nafkamina of aseh, such as. So in short, Tosarid, again, is the first option, that the source for the Asara is the Aseh of Yinisim as the Yinisim Esnafshol Seichem, which the Tosarid interprets as an Asara, which is a very, very big chiddush. The second version is to say that the source of the Asara is not the Mitzvah Saseh, but rather the Onish. And this refrain throughout the Gemara is that, you know, what's the refrain? Lo anush ella im ken hizu. We're going to see that all the other shitos, besides Reish Lakish, all hold that, you know, the source and the end of the day for the Asara is the fact that you get an onish. And the basis said the fact that there's a chi of kares for bitul inoy, that proves that there must be an Asara, because you never find an onish which is not connected to an Asara. So again, that's all the other shittos. Now we're going to just go through the different sources. But again, all the different sources are all coming back to the lo anush elam kin hizir, and just the different, you know, tanaim are just arguing what's the source for that cloud of lo anush elam kin hizir. So at the end of the day, in the first version was to say that the source of the azara is the aseh. The second version is to say that the source is the onish, because lo anush elam kin hizir. And the Rambam similarly in, you know, Parak Aleph, Halacha Dalet, and Shvisa Zasser similarly explains that the reason why the Azhara for Inoy comes from the Onish. But within this second version, that the source for the Inoy is the source for the Azhara is the Onish, there are a number of different Makoros cited by the Gemara in terms of what's the source that Lo Onish Elam Kein Hizr. And again, I don't know if we have time to develop each one, but in many cases, the source of this klal, you know, is suggestive in terms of, you know, certain very important, you know, yisodos. We'll get to their example. So the first example, or the first, you know, Tana, who basically derives the klal of Lo Anush Elam Kein Hizir from where? Where does he derive the idea that you only have an onish when there's an astara? So he derives it from another aspect of Yom Kippur. From the Isser Malacha of Yom Kippur. He says, we learn out from the Isser Malacha of Yom Kippur, Lo Anush Elam Kein Hizir, which then carries over to the Inur. Again, this is a topic in and of itself, but again, there's a lot of evidence that there is a fundamental connection between the Isser Malacha of Yom Kippur and the Inur of Yom Kippur. And again, this idea that the source for Lo Anush Elam Kein Hizir for Inur is the Isser Malacha, again, really highlights the connection between those two different things. In short, the Svara seems to be that both the Inoy and the Isser Malacha both play the same role. They're both about, you know, creating this idea that we're trying to all focus that on Yom Kippur, we try to resemble the Malachim. We focus kulo, right? We focus exclusively on, you know, the Inyan of spirituality. Therefore, we refrain from any physicality. So the same idea of Inoy, which is refraining from physicality to focus on the spirituality, is the same yisod is behind the Isser Malacha. The Isra Malacha, as we know from Shabbos, is about of not being involved in like physical creativity. And that's the gedr of Malachos. These are, all Malachos represent, you know, various, you know, physical constructive actions. So therefore, the relationship, again, there's a lot of evidence, the relationship between the Eino Yom Kippur and the Isra Malacha Yom Kippur, because they both have the same theme of trying to, you know, that the focus of Yom Kippur is all on spirituality. We don't engage in physical activities, being in the version of the physical activities of the Inuyim, being the physical activities in terms of Malachos, which are considered physical constructive activities. Fine. So again, first source for Lo Anesh Elam Kein Hizir is the Isra Malacha of Yom Kippur. The second source, which again, I don't know, I don't think it's as suggestive, is the is Gilui Arayos. Again, there too. Yeah, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. We're not going to delve into that at all. And the last, you know, version of it is that the source for Lo Onesh Elam Kein Hizir, this is both the opinion of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov and the opinion of Rav Papa, that the source is what? Shabbos. Right? Because this idea of, you know, Yom Kippur being compared to Shabbos, again, this is also a very important idea of the connection between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. That's why I had you guys see, and my father-in-law has a lot to say about this. He generally quotes the Rambam. Have you seen Aaron? Anyone see the Rambam's in Aaron? What? So we have to go in 30 seconds, but in short, the Rambam in Aaron has a fascinating shita where he says that although 2 days of Yom Kippur, although he says that Shabbos and Yontif are shtei kedushos, which have nafkamina in terms of setting up Aaron, if there's a Shabbos and Yom Kippur back to back, it's kedusha achas. And Rambam says, erotically, it seems to him. So the Rambam clearly holds that there's some fundamental connection between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, such that they're defined as Kedusha Achas, and therefore Nafkamina for setting up only one Erev Tchumim for both days of Shabbos and Yom Kippur. And again, the idea seems to be similar to what we were developing before, is that the uniqueness of Shabbos and Yom Kippur is that the Isra Malacha and the Isra Malacha of both Shabbos and Yom Kippur relate to the themes of the day. As I pointed out before, you know, Shabbos, the Isra Malacha is kivosh avas mikol malachto. The idea is that we don't do malach on Shabbos to resemble, you know, ma'aseh bereishis, or, you know, Hashem ceased from any positive, you know, productive activity. So too, Shabbos, the Isra Malacha, again, it resembles the theme of the day of cessation, you know, from any malacha trying to, you know, think about, you know, ma'aseh bereishis. And similarly, as we pointed out before, the Isra Malacha, when it comes to Yom Kippur, is also based on the theme of the day. It's also a kind of Shabbos that your shoves, you know, from the malacha to highlight, you know, its, you know, the theme of its day of Yom Kippur, the theme of focusing kulo on the spiritual themes of the day. Again, this is in contrast, this is unique to both Shabbos and Yom Kippur, where the Isra Malacha relates to the themes of the day. So there's a larger discussion, but Yom Tov, on the other hand, nothing to do with my separations, nothing to do with, you know, this idea of, you know, focusing on spirituality. And there the Isra Malacha doesn't seem to relate, you know, to the essence of the day as much as the Isra Malacha, my father-in-law suggests, is like, you know, that's what defines a Yom Kodesh. That by Yom Tov, where the Torah wants to set up a Yom Kodesh to celebrate, you know Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, you know, when we're trying to create a Yom Kodesh, this is the model. The model is an Isra Malacha, which is borrowed from Shabbos. But there, the Isra Malacha doesn't relate to the essence of the day. The uniqueness of Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and this is why it's Shabbos, that's why Yom Kippur is defined as Shabbos Shabboson, is that there, the Isra Malacha relates to the essence of the day. The essence of the day for Yom Kippur being one where you're supposed to refrain from any physical activity, refrain from any physical productivity, because the focus is supposed to be all on the spiritual. Parallel to Shabbos, whose Isra Malacha is also related to the essence of its day, which is the theme of Kivo Shabbos Mikom Malacha. So again, the various sources, be it the Isra Malacha or be Shabbos for the Lo Anash Elam Kein Hizir, again, are also important for, you know, some broader themes of Yom Kippur itself. We'll stop here. Shkoch for sticking it out to the end. And I guess we'll say our goodbyes later.